This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, we finally know the prices of the PS5 and new Xbox systems as we try to figure out just what the Xbox is called. In Future Retro, we talk about Riven, the sequel to Myst for realsies this time, as well as Cyan's first adventure. Vink.
Hey, Sean.
So now that we know the prices, it looks like Microsoft's probably going to win the console war that they said that they shouldn't make and should make love instead on their Twitter feed. We're getting the PS5, right?
Wait. Microsoft's going to win the console war now? When did this happen?
I mean, they've sort of gone for the jugular a little bit.
You mean by like buying Bethesda? Is that...
One of many reasons, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have very mixed feelings about this purchase, by the way. I have mixed feelings about, like, you know, Comcast buying NBC, for example. It feels like the exact same thing.
Sure. Okay. But you think they've won the console war with this one?
I think that they're trying the console war that they say they're not fighting.
Do you think they could move their Japanese sales into the double digits? No. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I think they might be looking at an Xbox 360 like success, but I don't think it's going to be as extreme as a lot of people are saying. Time for another segment of Vink Was Wrong.
Oh boy.
I mean, I don't know. I just maybe it's just because what they offer doesn't appeal to me at all. I suppose that's it.
Ooh, bummer, right?
No, I mean, does what they have on offer appeal to you? I mean, were you big into the Bethesda games, the Skyrim and stuff like that? Doom?
I like Doom. I haven't managed to play any of the new ones because they were console releases first, PC releases first, and I didn't have anything that could play it. And then the consoles, it's like, well, maybe I get it when it comes out for Switch. And then that, I mean, I guess it came out for Switch eventually, but I guess Doom Eternal is still not out.
No. And now I don't know if it will be. I don't know.
Really?
Because Microsoft and Nintendo play pretty nice together, though. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Ori and the Blind Forest, an Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Those are Microsoft titles, and Minecraft and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
And Banjo's in Smash.
Yeah. So is that Minecraft guy? Whatever
Minecraft
his name is.
Steve.
All right. Yeah. Sure. Steve. Hey, Steve.
That reminds me of this joke that my stoner roommate would tell me in college. This is before we were hanging out, but I had a roommate when I first moved in when I was living in the hotel, because they had overbooked the campus dorms, so they had to have people staying at like the Quality Inn.
Right.
But anyway, my roommate, he and his friend, let's just say they occasionally went collecting herbs and
gathered herbs
and used them upon themselves.
Yes.
But he's,
you know,
like,
for health restoratives. Yeah.
Yeah. But he's like, hey man. So there's this grasshopper. Okay. Grasshopper. Just remember he's a grasshopper. And he like went into a bar and the bartender's like, whoa, man. We got a drink named after you. And the grasshopper's like, what? You got a drink named Steve?
That delivery was beautiful.
And like the joke itself is not particularly funny, but the way he told it, it's one of my favorite jokes. It's one of my favorite jokes.
Oh Lord.
Anyway. Oh, man. Anyway, you got a Minecraft guy named Steve? Okay. So, what were we talking about?
We're definitely buying PS5s, right?
Oof.
I think it's your turn, because I bought the PS4.
All right. I'll take one for the team.
Yeah.
Because I bought the PS3.
Yeah.
Okay. I might. I'm much more interested in that than I am in the Xbox One X, S, X, Triple X, Steve box.
The Steve box. That makes much more sense than the name that they've chosen. So the Steve box works for me.
But like, there's like two models. There's the like $300 one that's like with no disk drive and like the smaller one. Then there's the behemoth that does have a drive and is super, super powerful, but they all play the same games, but not really. But yes, I'm so confused. I'm so confused.
Well, the PlayStation's backwards compatibility sounds like it's capping off at PS4, despite what they told us previously. Oh, yeah. So,
and then there's like then there's the forwards compatibility. So apparently, even like the games that are being made for the Xbox Steve will still work with the X-Bone, or I don't know
what.
Like forwards compatibility, like for a little while at least.
Sounds like the whole like you know PS4 Pro and
whatever
the Xbox's version of that was.
Steve.
Yeah. No, Steve's the newest one.
Oh, Steve's the new one.
Wild. I don't
Xbox. It was the Xbox X. The Xbox One X, not to be confused with the Xbox One Series S X. Steve.
Yeah, man.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's not
let's
happening.
Let's just call it Steve Box and Steve Box Lite.
Now, what would interest me in Xbox at this point probably would have been things like Battletoads or the other thing. Battletoads or Killer Instinct, which I got to play a little bit of or watched someone play at Midwest Gaming Classic a couple years ago.
Okay.
Before they moved to their new venue and then couldn't hold it there again because pandemic. But but those were they both like freemium titles?
No.
I can't
remember. Well, yes. You could play it, and you got... It was basically the same way they did Dead or Alive Last Bout, or Final Bout, or Last Round, or whatever, the freemium one. You get there, and you can have... There's, like, one character that's free. And then if you can buy packs of other characters, or unlock individual characters. Or I think there was one that was an unlock of, like, the whole... Like, a series pass, or whatever, that unlocked everything. But yeah, that whole model just ugh.
Yeah, just I'd rather just plunk down my $60 and just be done with it.
60, did you say? How quaint.
how do you mean?
Well, here's the other thing that's coming with the new gen. We're looking at raising the bar to a $70 price tag.
That doesn't sound too bad, actually. It's probably overdue, to be perfectly honest.
Why?
So I'm thinking back.
Sure.
So PlayStation, I didn't really play back in the day, but I got into the disc market around the GameCube era, so those were $50. I think PS2 games were $50, so 2000, 2001. Around that time, and this was great for me because I was paying upwards of $90 for N64 games. Not that many of them, mind you, but you know there we are. So it's like, wow, I can pay less than half, and I still wouldn't pay $50 for Luigi's Mansion because it just didn't seem like a game that was worth that much.
I
think $60 is right around the like Xbox 360, Wii U era.
Sure.
And I still wouldn't pay $60 for Wii U games. But, you know, that's about where the price point is.
No, Wii U games were still at the $50 price point.
Were they?
I think, yes. I think it wasn't until the Wii U that they made the jump. Yeah, they were $50.
Okay. Well, All I know is I would take advantage of those sales for Wii U games, and I would get you some of those buy one, get one free or half off or whatever at the same time. So I'm definitely part of the problem here. But I blame Nintendo for not releasing games I wanted to pay $60 for, like, say, Dragon Age Inquisition or Mass Effect or anything by BioWare, really.
Oh, yeah. So okay. But now you said that it's long overdue. And that's just because we went a generation without a price raise, or what's
It's been like a decade, so it feels like, you know, the aughts was one price, and the tens and teens is another, and now it's the 20s, and $10 probably isn't quite keeping up with inflation.
But okay, I'm gonna say that when it comes to games like by Sony's in-house studios, I think that's a reasonable raise in price. Okay.
Okay.
But I will say that I find it completely unreasonable for your common popular mainstream shooters and sports games.
Oh, sports games for sure.
Because when you have a deeply inexpensive to make single person complete experience game, I can see how, you know, the prices should go up. You know what I mean? They cost more to make. There's bigger teams. You're getting a better experience. But when you're talking about like your annual sports franchises, those require a lot less work to make the new one. And even a Call of Duty game, you're never buying the game for $60, because to have anywhere near the experience that you're supposed to have, you have to buy all these microtransactions. And I think that's the thing. I'm okay with a $70 experience that's worth $70, but I really do feel that games these days have less value in a base thing, and if they want to charge $70 for a single player RPG that's 100 hours long, I'm okay with that. That's okay. But if they're charging that for a game that already requires, you know, season passes, microtransactions, stuff like that. So for example, take that the Killer Instinct game you were just talking about.
Sure.
I'm willing to pay a premium price for a complete package.
Absolutely.
But to have something that you know is going to have more stuff tacked on later, that makes it a little harder to swallow. I really think that Call of Duty and games like that should adopt the Fortnite model and just be free to play, and then, you know, because they're making so much. Take the FIFA games, FIFA Ultimate Team to the basically gambling that you do to get new players and stuff. I mean, if they're gonna have all that stuff in, they really should just release it as a free to play title, you know. Because they make more money off that than the base of the game anyway. And think of how many more people would play it if the barrier to entry was free. Then again, I don't like that model, so never mind. Forget I said it.
Well, I was legit confused because, you know, I hear that all the kids are playing Fortnite, right? And so I'm like, well, I want to get that for the Switch. And then, so I'm like, I'm looking around Best Buy, and they have some kind of add-on pack, but there's, like, no game. And I'm like, huh? Yeah. So I figured it out finally. Yeah. Yeah, I have to just download it
for free. Yeah.
For free. And, yep. And so, all right.
I guess.
I haven't fired it up yet. I've downloaded it. I have not played it yet. Honestly, I don't think I'd like playing games with that kind of pay structure.
I played a few rounds, and it looks nice. It's got a nice shooty mechanic, but there's also like a building thing, and that's just multitasking beyond what I can deal with.
Oh dear. Okay.
and there's the fact that like if you go without buying anything, you have a very very boring looking character, and you know, there's very few options that don't require some amount of money. So, like. And it this leads to the saddest thing. I ask my students or whatever what they want for Christmas, and it used to be, like back in the day, it used to actually be physical objects, and now it's just like, I want T-Bucks. I think T-Bucks? F-Bucks? Something. some letter followed by bucks is the currency on Fortnite. F would make more sense, wouldn't it? F bucks. Fortnite bucks. Could it be T bucks?
This kind of reminds me of that Fuddruckers joke from Idiocracy.
Anyway, so you've got games like that coming out, and I just here's what I want, and something that I'm actually very appreciative that Nintendo has done this year is that these last couple of years is almost every Wii U game came out at $60, with a couple of them coming out for $40, like Captain Toad and things like that. But then this year with the Switch, you have prices varying between $20 and $60.
That's so much better. I appreciate that so much.
It's so interesting that the other companies haven't. I mean, I guess other companies don't need to, because prices drop so quickly on like a $60 game for PlayStation 4. You wait a little while and you can get it for $20. Right. But Nintendo games rarely drop, but it's good that some of them start cheaper, you know?
Yep.
And I mean, what did we pay for Real Mist? $30?
$35?
I think
now.
It was 30.
Now, since then, though, they've been upwards of like $50-$60 lately, and I just can't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it.
Oh, the limited run stuff.
Yep.
Well, a lot of the limited run ones that you're seeing recently are not just limited run. They're partnerships with other companies, you know. Mm. So, like, take the Grandia collection that was $50.
Sure.
I mean, it's $40 digitally, and it's never really gone on sale, you know. So the $10 premium seems somewhat reasonable to me. But their indie games are still usually pretty cheap. I bought one recently for $30, and I don't remember what it was, but it was not too bad. But yeah, but you know, I like the price structure to be staggered, and like if. What games are going to be is that $70 is going to be the upper cap. I'm totally okay with that. But if every game is $70, there's a lot of games that are not worth $70. You know?
Right. Yep. Well, that's how I felt with a lot of Nintendo games, like back even in the GameCube era. It's like they're not worth $50.
Yeah. Well, I mean, take Japan, for example, their variable price structure. I mean, Final Fantasy VII Remake came out in Japan. It was nearly $100. Very expensive. But it went down in price really quick, you know. And there's an active used market. So, like, you know, if you don't want to buy it at that price, just wait a little while, you know. But, yeah, it came out at that price. And even Nintendo games, I believe Xenoblade Chronicles 2, the new one, was $80.
Okay,
but yet their remake, the Xenoblade Chronicles, what is it? Definitive Edition, Comprehensive Edition, Super Neat Edition, whatever the thing that came out, it was $60 in the United States, I believe, and it was only $50 in Japan. Okay. So like it can be good and bad. Sometimes things come out cheaper in Japan than they do in the United States because they have a much more variable structure there.
Sure.
So take Mario Kart. Mario Kart I believe was a $50 title in Japan and a $60 title in America. But Zelda costs $78 here and $60 in, you know, so it's really all over the place. Zelda's a game that's worth more than I paid for it. But there's other games that I'm like, I wish I would have waited to get this one used, you know?
Right. Well, how do you know until... Yeah.
But anyway, I think... Well, okay, take... How much was Clubhouse Games in the United States?
I think it's $40.
Okay, it was $40 here too. But, I mean, that's great. And, my goodness, I've already gotten so much use out of it. Oh, I play that thing all the time.
I still have to get it.
What?
I'm going to Best Buy tomorrow, and I get to pick up ink, so maybe I'll get it then. But
okay.
I don't know if they let people in the stores yet, even. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to check.
You can probably get someone to bring it out to you or something. I think they're doing
right. They
that.
might still do both.
I have no idea. It's the Wild West in America right now. I went shopping in Japan just yesterday. No problem. The sign says put your mask on, spray your hands as you go in, spray your hands as you leave. They've put plastic shields down between the cashier and the customer. Mm-hmm. And everything's very and they've marked the floor where you're supposed to stand for social distance. And here's the thing, and this is kind of amazing. Japanese people do it. I think that's the secret.
What?
Well, that's a secret, you know. I know some people would be like, well, that's because they don't know freedom. I don't know. But all I can say is, like, things are not so bad here right now. Meanwhile,
the hand sanitizer dispensers at the bank have been broken for the last 2 weeks, so.
That's not great. That's not great. But anyway, not to get too much into the state of the world, because we're talking about video games right now, where the biggest concern ever is that video games might cost $10 more.
Yes, you can support the Famicom Dojo video game podcast and web series. Fall may be over, but Future Retro Fall is not. We still have many more great episodes coming up on YouTube, and we're going to be streaming again in 2021. Yes, we'll be releasing our new t-shirt design soon for our 2020 eligible patrons. Speaking of which, some of those who make this show possible: Dojo Disciples Chris Berkland, Earl Grey III, Daniel Hathcock, Brady Cashin, Lena, Mario the Amhant Hero, and Paul Spicknall. If you want to join their ranks or just contribute for the attaboys, please visit patreon.com/FamicomDojo and become a member today. Everyone at the extra credit level and above has early access on Patreon to our new videos, plus some behind-the-scenes stuff and some neat Discord perks. If everyone listening right now pledged as little as a dollar, we could be doing so, so much more. Thank you all for your support, and enjoy the rest of the show. So by comparison here, right?
Sure.
The digital games, I read a thread on Twitter,
sure,
which I can't find, so I can't credit the person, but I found a similar article on Nintendo Life trying to look it up here. And they don't have the considerations of, you know, just general holding costs and shipping and
of course
the things that you need with physical.
So you think those would be cheaper, right?
The digital games?
Yeah, you'd think, right?
They are cheaper, but
Well,
the ones I'm talking about are
Okay.
The way Nintendo's eShop specifically works.
Oh, Nintendo, sure. Yes.
Yeah. Unlike other online stores, is that they go by units pushed. So if you have a reasonable price for your product, it won't get the exposure that you want, even with Nintendo's assistance to drive traffic to it, and you won't sell as much. You won't sell as many units. You won't get paid for the price that you're offering. If you do like a deep 90% discount.
It bumps it right up, right?
Yeah, it bumps it right up, and then you don't even need to raise the price at that point because you're just pushing so many units.
Some games that have been on sale since the beginning, you know.
Right. But even then, they're only making a fraction of what they would make on Steam or other platforms. So it's a real interesting case study, just by contrast. But you know, what some other tweet I saw today was a game is going to be like 250 gigabytes to install. And like, they're like, yep, I'm real excited to install, to be able to have two games on my PS5 at any particular time.
Yeah. Is that one of the call? I think that's one of the Call of Duty games, right?
I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to save that space by not buying it.
Right. I haven't had that problem with my PS4, but then again, I don't own a whole lot of games for it. I probably should get The Last of Us 2. I feel like just mentioning that game is going to just bring down a holy hellstorm of
oh, yeah.
unrelated things that I don't really want to get into, but
I hear it's a pretty good game though.
Yep. I want to play it. I liked the first one. I didn't quite get finished with Left Behind. I did stream it. Camera problems and all. But yeah.
Yeah. But I think when we're getting back to the main topic, $70 for a game that has no microtransactions and has a high production value, I think is completely reasonable.
Sure.
Absolutely. But I think as a general, every game should be $70 going forward. I disagree, and I think by driving that model or whatever, we're making it harder to sell a game that is coming out at a lower price, because stores are going to be going to want to stock your $70 premier titles more.
Look at it this way then. It's not so much that $70 is the actual baseline, just that games can be $70 and it won't be this weird aberration. Part of the reason, aside from resales and concerns around that, part of the reason that we get DLC is because $60 just isn't enough to develop and get a profit on some of these games.
Yeah.
And so, is 70 going to make that much of a difference? Well, to the publishers, maybe. But, and I don't think that those other practices are going to go away, per se.
Yeah.
But, there just does come a time where it's just no longer economical, and the pressures of doing those other things start harming the gaming experience.
Oh, I would say so.
Now, I haven't played a game where I felt like that's true yet, but I don't kind of want to wait to find out, right? So if I have to pay $10 more for a game I know I'm going to like Breath of the Wild 2 or whatever is coming next.
Sure. Do you think it's going to make you buy fewer games at launch?
I already buy fewer games at launch. What did I buy? Actually, I think that I was mostly limited, for Nintendo systems anyway, by the interest and their lineup. I remember the Wii launch.
Yeah.
I got Super Monkey Ball.
Sure.
And I got Zelda.
Sure.
And
not talking just about launch, obviously.
Well, even the first few months.
Sure.
there wasn't anything I wanted. Like I said, I wasn't gonna the GameCube launch.
Yeah.
Also Super Monkey Ball.
Yep.
Come to think of it. That one I enjoyed a lot more.
Yeah.
But I got that and What was the other game? Big title, but I wouldn't pay for Luigi's Mansion.
In Japan, Smash was out about a month after the launch, so that was the big title. You had your Luigi's Mansion, your Wave Race, Blue Storm, and was it Pikmin? Pikmin was pretty early, but I don't think it was launch.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Was it though? Because that might have been the reason I got Pikmin. No, it wasn't. It wasn't launch. You're right. Why can't I remember the game that I got at launch for the GameCube? That's terrible.
It must have been pretty early, because it came out while I was still in Japan, and the GameCube came out the week of 9/11. So,
right.
Its launch games in Japan were just Luigi's Mansion, Wave Race, and Super Monkey Ball. Yes, I was correct. And in America, you had All-Star Baseball. That wasn't the one you wanted. Mm-hmm. Batman Vengeance, Crazy Taxi, Dave Mirra Freestyle BMX 2, Tarzan Untamed, Luigi's Mansion, Madden, NHL, Star Wars Rogue Squadron?
Definitely no? Monkey Ball I got.
You got Definitely. Monkey Ball, and then it was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and Wave Race Blue Storm. I can't imagine you buying any of those other ones.
I got two games, and I cannot remember what the other one was.
It wasn't Luigi's Mansion, though?
No, I rented that, and I beat it in, I don't know how long it was. Not very long. So, I felt like the money I spent on the rental was sufficient.
It might have been Smash. Smash was out pretty soon after. Did you buy yours at launch? Did you buy yours on launch day? Oh,
yeah. I waited.
Then I'm guessing you bought Tarzan Unleashed. I can't see any other. I mean, what else? What else? Would
it was only 19 years ago, so you know.
Yes.
What?
You're a sci-fi guy. Maybe you got Star Wars Rogue Squadron 2 Rogue Leader.
I've never. It's so funny story, right? I still don't know why this is happening, but like that Wii launch special that Phil and I did in 2006, people are still watching that like crazy, and I don't know what it is.
I have no idea. Yeah.
These kids are coming in like, you know, I remember my dad buying this for me, or like I was 9 years old when this happened. Wow, really 14 years? And I'm just like, I'm 40.
Yep.
And I was 26 when that system launched, and so it doesn't, you know, 14 years doesn't feel as long to me.
Yeah.
But still, it's I'm not getting it. I'm not getting what's driving this, or what other videos people are watching to feed this nostalgia bubble. And boy, if I could capitalize on this somehow, I sure would, because. Beyond that video, that and the Mass Effect videos from 2000. Is it just 2007 in general that people are nostalgic for?
Maybe
it was a pretty good year.
It was a very good year, a very good year for Famicom Dojo. No,
right? That is when we launched. It was 2007.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
So that means we've been doing this for 13 years.
Yep.
Wow. How is that possible? We're still so young.
I know, right?
How is that possible?
Youthful complexion.
I know.
The jet black hair.
I know. I was at a coffee shop today, because you can still go shopping. You can still go to things in Japan. And the waiter, he was like, he's like, oh, are you? And then whatever. And I went, yes. And he's like, I think you were my teacher.
Nice.
And I'm like, oh, was I? And he's like, I think so, when I was in kindergarten. And I'm like,
oh, no.
I am like, neat. Go away now. You are ruining my illusion that I am still a young man. So, yep.
So, I think by comparison, Wii U.
Yeah.
I mean, we did a video about that too, and played Nintendo Land.
Yeah.
And the Donkey Kong Crash Course.
Yeah.
A lot to begin with, so I don't think I bought anything at launch.
No.
For that
no.
system.
And. Yeah, what did I buy? Because I got mine that was, it was already a little into the life of it. So I got Nintendo Land and Pikmin 3 was the game that I really enjoyed on the system the most. And what else did I buy? I bought Super Mario Brothers U, which I never beat. I just, maybe it's because I just played Super Mario Brothers Wii not that long ago, and they're very similar. I mean, I think the level design in Super Mario Brothers U is fantastic, but it's still the same kind of graphics, the same kind of wah wah music, you know. So I just never got into it as much. But gosh, what other games did I buy? I don't recall. But
I guess where I'm going with this is that I don't think I'm going to get a PlayStation or Xbox at launch.
Ooh.
If
yeah,
at
me
all.
Either. Yep.
I've never gotten a non-Nintendo system at launch, to be perfectly honest, until there's a game that I want to play for it and I can't really help it anymore.
The closest,
I've not really played much on my PS4. I've played No Man's Sky. We've talked about that a bunch. I played Dragon Age Inquisition. That was
you
the
talked
reason
about
I got
that a
PS4.
Bunch. Yep.
gathering those herbs.
Yep.
And Amplitude for a bit. Yep. Because I did that Kickstarter. And I thought I'd be playing Shenmue 3. Not really.
Did you Kickstart it?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got a copy.
Yes.
As do I. It's still in its box.
There's a video if you guys are interested in my impressions, but I think we talked about it on the podcast before.
Yeah,
too,
we've talked about it. So I might get a PlayStation 5 in order to play all those games that I missed on PlayStation 4.
Sure. Makes sense.
But then again, I might also just get a PlayStation 4 now that they're going to be super cheap with everyone cashing them in to get a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, might as well get a PS4 Pro if you're gonna do that.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, I'm guessing as soon as the PS5 launches, a lot of those systems are going to start hitting the used shops. And I don't know if I want to pay all that money to get a PlayStation 5 unless there's something that really... But, like, there's almost no titles that aren't also going to come out for the PlayStation 4 at the same time. A lot of the PlayStation 5 library that's been announced are remasters of PlayStation 4 games. Yep. Or games that are going to come out on both systems. Or games I'm not particularly interested in. So
can we all, like, just give it a rest and not give Nintendo too much of a hard time for twice now releasing the Zelda system or game for two systems at the same time, because that's like almost the only thing they've done apart from port Wii U games that never really got an audience to the Switch.
Yep.
Which was a
yep.
very sound financial decision.
Oh yeah, and good for gamers, really, because there's
absolutely.
So many really really good Wii U games that no one ever played just because of they were limited by the platform it was on.
So on the other hand, though, because I did pay
yeah.
$60 or very near that when I got them on Wii U, I
yep.
haven't bought them again for the Switch, and I also just don't play them on Wii U anyway, so there's no
yeah.
reason. But I
yeah.
kind of want to get Smash Ultimate, kind of.
Wait, kind you of. Don't have Smash Ultimate?
No.
You know that that's not a port, right?
I'm aware it's not a port.
Okay. And that it's... Oh man, it's good, man. It's
the,
a good game.
The last time, because I have
yeah.
Smash Brothers Smash Brothers 4,
yes.
GameCube and 3DS. I have both
okay.
both versions of those, and I
yeah.
wanted to get the DLC because it works for both systems, or you
sure.
get keys for both systems, right? And
yeah.
I was just waiting for those big collections, and I was going to do it, and then I heard Smash Ultimate was coming out, and I'm like, well, I'll just wait, and then I just haven't done it.
Smash Ultimate is good. It's good. I mean. Is it good in the time of social distancing? I don't know. No, I
yeah.
mean, like,
Where's
I had
that?
So I had so much fun to, because I bought it pre-pandemic, and I would go over to parties and play it. And because a lot of people my age or a few years younger, you know, grew up with the original Smash Brothers. And even if they haven't been into games for a while, you put on Smash and they, you know, they recognize those characters. It was a fantastic party game. I put tons of hours into that game.
Oh,
but now
Lord, Smash Brothers is 21 years old. It's old enough to drink.
Oh, and if it's been reading the news, it's probably doing so. I got me some root beer here. Oh, can just disappeared. Oh my goodness. It's kind of doing weird video effects there.
It's just that Oktoberfest time of year.
Yep.
Here's to your health, Ron Johnson.
Ugh. Anyway, that better be vodka. Anyway,
No, this is water. Vodka is sneaky.
Vodka is sneaky. Okay, so... I guess we're in agreement that $70 is a reasonable amount to pay for a game. But I'll tell you, maybe at launch, whatever. But let's say 5 years into a system,
oh, sure.
new releases are still $70. Are you going to buy less games at launch? The launch of the game, not the launch of the system. Are you going to buy less games at launch? Or is that not going to affect it too much?
Great question, because for the life of the Switch so far, I had that Best Buy Gamers Club thing
yeah.
that has now since lapsed.
Yeah.
So I've been getting games for $48 for a while.
Nice.
So I don't really know what it's like to pay $60 for a game for the last several years. It's going to be quite the shock for me.
Do you think Nintendo will follow suit? Do you think Nintendo will raise their prices to $70?
When the next system comes out, yes.
Okay, so... But, yeah, I'd say... Well, I don't know. Sometimes they lag a generation. As I said, Wii stuff was still $50 when PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 stuff was $60.
That's true, but they were also pushing a lot more units... they were doing very well when the Wii first launched.
That's very true. And I mean, if they continue with cartridge based medium, fingers crossed, I love carts. I would say yeah, they'll definitely raise the price just because the carts they have a higher cost of manufacturing.
Yep. True.
Oh, I hope the Switch 2 is backwards compatible. I really, really do.
I mean
that's another topic, but
I lost faith in that when I realized that they could have made the slot the same size as the 3DS, maybe to play some of those games. Didn't do it.
Yep.
I'm not holding out any hope that's going to happen.
No. I mean, it'd be nice.
if for no other reason, those carts are so small, and I lose them all the time.
I love the small carts personally. I love a physical medium that loads quickly, and that doesn't
tell to real mist,
and that doesn't risk. Well, that's part of the Unity, but like that I don't risk scratching. Do you know what I mean? My kids are old enough that they're not going to eat them other than the baby, but apparently they taste terrible, which we've tested in a previous thing. So I'm not too worried about them getting eaten. Getting lost, sure, that's a thing. But like my kids know that one of the main rules in our house is you got to put the cartridges back in. Even if not its case, then at least a case.
Oh, my kids know the rules.
But yeah. The games are not where they can access them. They have if they want to switch the game, they have to ask me because they're in my room, you know. So I always make sure I get the cart that they're currently using back before we bring out another one. And that's because I'm really anal about that sort of thing. Whereas they have toys strewn all over the house. But but not my games.
I will say that if they do release Splatoon 3 for the Switch, and if they do charge $70 for it, I will still buy two copies of it.
Yep. If Breath of the Wild 2 is $70, they've got my $70.
Yep.
I've already paid. What did I pay for my Xenoblade 2? Because I got it as a collector's edition, so I paid over $100 for that. You know.
Wow.
So, and you know, the Bayonetta box that I got was $100, although it's worth like $500 now because it was really limited. But you know, if there's a game that I really like, I don't mind paying a little bit more. But you know what? If they're going to raise the price to $70, can we get manuals again? That'd be nice.
Right.
I would like a manual. That can't cost that much to put in.
I mean, Limited Run Games does it all the time, and I,
yes,
I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
Yep. Because we can hear you listening to us.
Oh, they definitely listen.
Of course. So does Nintendo and everyone else. Sarah Silverman was on Seth Meyers the other day, and she was talking about that she became a gamer over the quarantine period, and she had an idea for a game, and she went and she looked at the camera and went, Activision, if you're listening, and I know you listen to this, and I was just like, hey, that's our thing.
Wait a minute. Sarah Silverman listens to Famicom Dojo.
Obviously.
It's the only thing that makes sense.
nope, there's no possibility that two people could have this same brilliant idea. So, obviously, so Sarah Silverman, thank you for listening to our program. You were wonderful in School of Rock.
Ah, and that two-parter of Voyager with the evil Bill Gates.
What?
Dude, what? You didn't know about that?
I don't watch Star Trek. I'm not a nerd.
That's how I first, like, was aware of her, was that role.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No idea.
She hasn't aged a day since 1996.
No. It's the Sarah Silverman Show. Which, yeah, she looks exactly the same then and now.
Yeah, man.
But that was written by Bob Odenkirk of Mr. Show with Bob and David. And apparently he's been in something else since then.
I've heard things.
I've heard that he was in something, but probably no one's watched that show.
Yep.
What was that called? Something Saul. And there was another one before that. It was like Breaking Guy.
That's what it was called.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts then?
I hate microtransactions.
Me too.
But
let's
like
never do them again.
And if $70 games are what it takes for a studio to not put them in, that's great. But if you're continuing to put them in, please keep your games at $60 and make them free to play. And I will know to avoid them. Thank you.
It won't be.
I know it won't. And you know what? You know, the game good enough, I'll probably buy DLC for it as well. I hate to say it. I'm weak in that respect.
Fair.
Although I still haven't bought the Breath of the Wild DLC. Still haven't bought it.
Ooh. I have a key to download that. Thank you, Phil. Oh yeah, huh. that Nintendo Direct and the announcement of the Hyrule Warriors prequel game for Breath of the Wild is a thing. I just don't know if I'm gonna like that kind of game. But I'm here.
Well, I enjoyed the first Hyrule Warriors enough. I mean, it was kind of mindless fun, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Okay. And now, a haiku. Among five islands, rescue Catherine and stop Gain. Where is the bathroom? All right. I think should we move on to future retro pile of shame?
Yeah, let's wrap this up. Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right, let's shame our piles or retro our futures.
Yep.
Future Retro is a segment where we talk about contemporary video games that have the potential to be remembered as classics.
Or classics that we've played for the first time, or just more recently.
And in Pile of Shame, we talk about the games we haven't been playing, and try to convince each other if we should.
Or not.
Asking what I've been playing.
What have you been...
Well...
I love this. Okay, sorry.
Since last episode, John,
what have you been playing?
Since last episode,
yeah,
I've been just champing at the bit to talk about Riven.
Yeah.
By the time this audio podcast comes out, we should have released all of the Myst-related videos that we have.
Oh, okay.
By the time the video version of this comes out, you'll have seen a teaser for the last one.
Hmm.
And that should be all of our Myst related content. So buying Myst and Real Myst led me to play the game and then buy the entire series from Good Old Games. I have a copy of Myst 4 that I bought like around 2004, I think.
What platform?
PC. $20. Oh, okay. Never opened it. Still have it. In fact, I found it along with my copy of Myst 3 and my original Myst books, including the Pattern book.
Did you beat Myst 3?
Back in the day, I did. I have started Myst 3 on my good old games copy.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, remember nothing about the beginning of it.
What a nice looking game, actually.
So my memories of it are that I thought it was very gorgeous, and while it wasn't as complicated, I guess, as Riven, that I really, really liked it. Like, it was a smaller game, but it was really focused, and I really appreciated that. Hmm. And learning in retrospect that it was done by Presto Studios of the Journeyman Project, I'd like it even more now. So I'm going through it again. But my Riven experience has been riveting. It's been interesting. So I played this game back in the day on that 5 CD set. And if you've played Riven, you understand the number 5 is incredibly important to the mythos of the game. So it was a very nice touch. I don't know if they had to do 5 CDs and then like kind of worked it in backwards or what order they did this in. But there are 5 main islands in Riven that you can visit, and you would have to swap a disc every single time. So I did get a DVD copy of this game at some point. No disc swapping required, but I don't think I ever played it. I have it. Again, I found it with all my stuff. Yeah. But so going through it on good old games was interesting because it doesn't feel as expansive when you're not changing discs. Like, if you know you're going to go to a spot where you're going to leave the island and have to switch discs, you might not do it.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I know that one was originally also released, on DVD. So, I mean, I guess the experience was... Yeah, but yeah. Myst 3 has ages, right?
Yes.
Like, Riven is the one that's all one age,
I haven't been able to visit any yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. The basic plot of Myst 3 is that there is a survivor of the cruelty inflicted upon the other ages from the first game. I won't say by who, so as not to spoil what happens there. But he wants revenge. You are sent, you know, you being the person who played Myst and Riven, are sent to assist with this issue because he's stolen the book to help recreate the civilization that had the technology to make these ages in the first place. And he's reprogrammed this this age with training ages inside of it to exact his revenge. So I don't recall if it's just those 3 ages that you do when you're done with the game. It very well could be. Again, why I think it's so quote unquote small. But I haven't been able to access any of them yet, and I haven't picked it up again since it's been a few weeks. But basically, since working on the Future Retro Fall stuff. I went right into it after Riven because I was just like, I want to keep going. I want to keep this high going because I've gone through 2 Myst games now, and I want to get to Myst 4 because I've just never played it in the last 15 plus years.
15 plus years.
I know.
So Myst 4 was a PC and PlayStation 2 and Xbox game, right?
Sure. I just have the PC version of it. I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
I'm playing Riven on PC now.
I'm sure I saw it as a... Or was that Myst 3? Gosh, I'm so confused. Yeah, all I know is I picked him up on Good Old Games, and I did not play Riven back in the day at all, or even look at it. I remember seeing it in the stores and being excited about it, but at the same time, I don't think I had anything that could play it at the time. So because I went with Nintendo, and Nintendo didn't have it, and Jaguar didn't get it.
Right.
And Saturn didn't get it in the United States.
Okay.
It got it in Japan, which I have. I have a copy of Japanese Riven 2. And it got it in Europe, but not in the States. So same with the Discworld games came out on Saturn in Europe, but not in the States.
Okay.
And in Japan. Yeah.
So without really talking about spoilers, going through Riven again was a very different experience because of the lack of disc swapping, like I said. And unlike Myst, you don't have as much direction from the get-go. Like, there's just a lot to explore. And I was very gung-ho with solving the puzzles as they were presented.
Yep.
And the story comes very much out of, like, little hints they dropped during Myst, including, like, the opening itself. Like, there's a lot that ties these two games together in a way that if they never made a third one, they made a third, a fourth, and a fifth, is incredibly satisfying. They were thinking ahead. They had this whole backstory written to the first game that they just never really revealed in the first game. So there was plenty of story to mine.
Well, I guess
ideas.
Oh, from watching that documentary on it, it seems like a lot of the ages of Myst originally started out as they were going to be their own different short stories.
Okay.
And they were kind of put together, and they used the book writing as a way to connect some kind of disjointed stories, and then they applied the two brothers' characters to it, whatever, apparently. And that's and so then they had to find a way to tie it all together. I also like that the idea of the book author's, sorry, the main character's, the writer of the books, name?
Etrus.
Etrus. Etrus. His wife, Catherine, was added after the game had already been finished.
Interesting.
Because it had come out, it was being previewed, and people weren't sure what to do, where to go next, what was going on. So, you know, they added that extra room where he's got the message in the pool.
Sure, yep.
That was added after the game was completed. But before it shipped, yeah.
It's very interesting. Okay. If you watch me play my Real Myst copy, like about a 20-minute video cut way down from the actual amount of time I spent it.
Yep.
That's up already by the time you watch or hear this. I completely miss that letter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's not even because you're actually able to go to take a different path around. That's not the reason, but I found that path later. But it's right there and it's obvious. And I downloaded the original, quote unquote, masterpiece edition in comparison. Yeah. It's a lot more obvious. But I was like so busy talking about my memories of the game, I just missed it.
Yep.
And
you just missed it.
Nah. But I knew enough about what I was supposed to do that I didn't.
Of course.
I didn't really need it. But it was it's a weird omission. Like someone watching videos, like, you know, you there's the thing that you did. Right. So, the interesting thing about the masterpiece edition of Real Myst also is there is an additional level.
Yeah.
After the end, so I won't say much more than that, but it helps tie into Riven very nicely, and it was nice to have a new experience with a game I'd already played 20 plus years prior. And I really enjoyed
it. I wonder if this new remake of Myst goes well, they'll do a real Riven. Because I feel that that's one that could really gain from that experience now. Because Myst has been remade a few times.
Sure.
But Riven still exists only in its original form.
That's true, but like I feel like it's aged pretty well, having played it again.
I guess.
I remember it looking amazing at the time.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's not like, you know, blow your socks off, wow, you know, bump mapping and like
then
sweat.
Again, I bet I know why they haven't remade it, though, because it would be very hard to incorporate the video, because the video within Myst is all contained to images within the book. But the video in Riven is actors interacting. Yeah. That would be really hard.
They would have to reshoot it all, probably. And you know, they probably are going to have to reshoot it all for this new Myst game anyway.
It depends how good the quality... yeah, probably. I was going to say, if they have the original video transfers, because most of the video in the original Myst is supposed to be grainy and choppy and bad, because that's the whole idea. So the book pages scenes would never really have to be refilmed.
That's true, but like if you listen to the intro in the trailer, they've added to it quite a bit.
Oh, definitely.
So I'm expecting there to be more in general all over the
place. I would assume so. And I mean, especially for people like you who can beat the game in like 5 minutes.
I think they're going to fix that too.
If you skip everything. Gosh, did we just do it again? Did we just go into Myst for we're just wandering off on these Myst.
So Riven.
All right.
My memories of playing this game my experience playing it again matched up pretty well. Like unlike Myst, where like I remembered nothing except the end of it, like nothing at all.
Yep.
Like the different ages, nothing at whatsoever. Yep. Myst Island itself, sure, but like everything else apart from that, it was like playing the game all over again. Riven, on the other hand, was very familiar, although I forgot a lot of details. Riven has more opportunities for different endings, which is very interesting. A lot of them are different paths to the same ending, but I don't think I ever got the best ending before. I think I failed in my mission. You're sent to save Catherine, Atreus's father is also there, and so you have to.
Yep.
You have to trick him into being trapped into a linking book like with the brothers, and also save Catherine. And I failed to save her, I think, when I played through the game originally. So I got the best ending this time. I'm pretty darn impressed, actually, with how well they wrote Catherine. Because it could have just been a simple damsel in distress story, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of her story is told through text,
like
you would expect from a Myst game, but there is quite a bit of video with her as well.
Yeah.
But I, the puzzles were so sprawling, and again, I was very committed to solving them the correct way. I did get stuck, and you know, kind of for the sake of time, I'd be like, you know, what is the process I have to follow here to get to the next step. And that's kind of where my gripe lies is that most, and I mentioned this briefly last episode of the podcast, most of the hints I could find were around how to beat the game in the least number of clicks and do things essentially out of order. So it was very difficult for me to find out what I was supposed to do, to solve a certain problem. And, so I eventually got there, and it was very difficult, like searching through like message boards and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I was missing something that should have felt obvious, but wasn't.
Did you forget to feed the dog?
Oh man. I'm staring at the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy box right now.
Deep
it's
cuts,
behind
deep
my
cut.
Monitor.
Yeah. Deep cut.
Such a deep cut. I should finish that stream too.
You should.
But yeah, I don't think it's possible to get stuck in this game
that.
But
I don't think there's any unwinnable circumstances. Yeah,
I had such a fun time running through these games, and my kids got to see me play a little bit of it.
Yeah.
And while there's no way you can really die per se, and get caught and like put in harm's way, the atmosphere and like the music
it's creepy.
Was very spooky.
Yeah. Yes.
But I loved it. I love it. And I remembered what puzzle led me toward the end, so I knew not to worry too much about certain things until I was at a point. But the factors of complexity for solving the last puzzle, if you don't know what you're doing, are gargantuan. And so it's just amazing that you can guess at all what you're supposed to do and piece it together and then just go ahead and do it. There was one thing that wasn't obvious but should have been or could have been. It wasn't obvious enough. That kept me from finishing it. But I did get there and I loved it so much. It is such a good game. It still stands up to me as one of the best games of all time, even without any kind of remakes.
Okay. Let me tell you what I'm playing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I'm playing.
What are you playing, Vink?
I am also playing a game by Cyan.
Mm-hmm.
Cyan. And I'm playing their first one.
Oh, The Manhole?
I am playing The Manhole, yeah. And I'm playing it on the PC Engine.
Oh, really?
Which is the only home system that it got a port for, because it was released on Mac, and then next PC Engine, and then PC. Very strange. So when you play the PC Engine version, and I'm going to do a video about this, is all the windows within the PC Engine look like HyperCard stacks. Like, it looks like you're playing on a Mac.
That's amazing.
On the PC Engine. And unfortunately, it was never released in the United States, the PC Engine version. It never came out on the TurboGrafx. But it's all of the text in the game is in English, but all of the voiceover is in Japanese. It's very strange. It's very, very strange. I'm not sure who the target audience was, unless they were possibly selling it as a English learning game. No idea. It's very, very bizarre, because since the voiceover is in Japanese, you can play it, because you're never meant to type in anything beyond yes or no. And it's mainly about exploration, and it's very visual. But like, it goes through these different books, Alice in Wonderland, Winnie the Pooh, things like that. And they have all these text things describing that isn't read. And I'm like, unless someone is bilingual, how are they really going to get into this? My guess is it was originally developed to be a TurboGrafx game. You know, that they had intended to release it in the States, but then it just never happened, and they just did a quick Japanese voiceover. No idea. But it's also interesting that it's in color, whereas the original one was black and white.
It is interesting. Okay.
So, and they've added some really nice music to it that's Redbook audio, and anyway, I don't want to get too much into that because I was playing it for about 20 minutes, and then I said, wait, I'm going to stop because I'd rather do this as a video.
Sure.
And be able to capture what I was doing. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do that as a stream or if I'm going to do it as part of your Myst series. I'm not sure. I'm still thinking about it. But since we're already kind of down that, I was going to say rabbit hole, but I'm going to say manhole.
Yeah.
We might as well put it in part of the thing. It's just finding the time to do it. So.
Okay.
And that's my future retro, The Manhole. Which is also available on Good Old Games, but it's the remastered version, so it's a little different from a historical context.
Yeah, I would love to find a way to play the original somehow. That would be great.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's not that expensive on PC Engine. If you want to play it on that, maybe I can get you a copy and you can play it that way. Okay. Yeah.
Do you have a question for Famicom Denshimail? Tweet us at Famicom Dojo with the hashtag Denshimail. Call us at 608-492-1923 and leave us a voicemail that we can play on the podcast or in a new video response. Leave a comment on this episode or one of our other videos. Or if you just want to share your own future retro or pile of shame, you can even send us a link to your YouTube video to be added to our official Denshimail playlist. Head over to famicomdojo.tv/podcast for more details. Yeah. Apart from this podcast, we're going through our future retro fall. We premiered our first future retro video in the form of Star Fox 2.
Thank you for saying we. But this is all you, man. This is all you.
Right.
But thank you. Thank you for including me, because I keep seeing these comments and it's like, oh, you guys are the greatest, and I'm like, oh, thank you for saying guys, but. It's been a really, really busy time. My work has changed, and then I was just getting used to it, and it changed again. It's been absolutely crazy here. Unlike I'm not going to say that you're lucky to be quarantined, because that's not a thing, but if anything, I've become busier during quarantine than before, because I'm still doing my job, but with a lot of additional steps.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like this, I'm not going through making all these new videos because I have more time on my hands, because I sure don't.
Yeah.
It's more the fact, you know, of my impending mortality and the fact that the Star Fox 2 video in specific has a lot to do with consoles released on my birthday, and my birthday was coming up. So I'm like, well, I better do it this fall. So I timed it to release the week before my birthday,
It's been 10 years since the Logan's Run video.
It has been 10 years, and as of now, 5 days.
Again, happy birthday!
Thank you.
The big four-oh.
Yeah, man, that's where we're at. So when I turned 30. I did a whole Logan's Run parody. I made a Sandman costume. I bought a kit for a gun and put that together. I had this elaborate green screen finale. It was a very involved production. And this year, I drank an expired Crystal Pepsi. So
that kind of represents the main flow of things. I'm just sitting here hoping that 40 still means middle-aged, which means that I still have some time left. You know what I mean? So it's,
Oof. Yep.
I better film some stuff.
Yeah, film some stuff.
We got,
you know what? There is a particular video you could film stuff for that all it needs is your stuff, and that can get thrown into the future retro fall. Wink, nod.
All right.
Just putting that out there. I
gotta have a week I don't podcast. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned before, there's a bit of a playthrough of the Real Miss video. As Vink mentioned about beating Miss in 5 minutes, we're gonna tell you how to do it too. In the video that's coming up pretty darn soon. I'm excited. With the caveat that, do you really want to? Are you sure?
You should put a lot of warnings on that one, because like, I won't even watch that video until my kids and I are done playing it. So, like, I'll click on it and let it run so you at least get a view. I'm not going to watch that until I beat the game with my kids.
Yeah, the problem, quote unquote, is that there are just puzzles that if you know the answers to, you can just breeze through them and skip a lot of the game. And part of that has to do with the pattern book, which if I remember correctly from the original game, the book wasn't in the game. You actually had to use the physical book to look up a pattern to use in the game.
I believe it's in Real Mist, though.
It is in Real Mist,
and I believe it's also in Masterpiece Edition.
Okay, that makes sense.
But in the original one, I think it was kind of low key copy protection.
Yes, that is what they did mostly in the early 90s for copy protection.
Yep.
As I can guarantee from playing Leisure Suit Larry way too young, you had to at certain points enter in something from like an ad that you saw in the instruction booklet to make sure you didn't pirate the thing.
And to prove that you were old enough, you had to answer a lot of questions about Nixon.
Spiro
Agnew. I learned so much. Okay,
right. So, the new Myst game allegedly is supposed to fix some of these things by adding some randomization to that stuff, which is absolutely fine. There's no reason to skip right to the end. There just isn't, and the video will go over that, but you can. for those who are upset with me yapping on about these sorts of things, I'm going to release an uncut just playthrough video. And there's also per the sort of hot linking inspiration that you get from Myst, there's also a secret video. So make sure you look for the secret video. I don't know if it's going to be worth your while, but make sure you find it.
Remember the clues.
Okay, that's not from Myst. That's from You Don't Know Jack.
Oh, good lord. So yeah, apart from Myst and apart from Star Fox, we got lots more coming up. There's some stuff Nick sent me. There's that Trainer game, of course. There's more future retro that we are doing. I'm hoping to land a special guest for one of them.
Ooh,
we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I contacted the special guest about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to remind special guests that maybe now's the time.
I might be able to contact special guest as well, as I'm a big fan. So.
Okay, maybe that would help.
Yeah.
Since I might have goofed, but there's lots I'm excited for. We're going to keep trucking along here. So far on schedule, so I'm pretty happy about that too.
Yep.
I'm as excited for this as I was for the Winter Dojo, to be perfectly honest.
But, nice.
We'll see how it goes. So, yeah, make sure that you're subscribed to YouTube. Click on that bell. Awesome.
The bell really helps. I mean, I don't know if we can put this out enough, because the majority of the comments we get are along the lines of, when are you going to put out a new video?
Mm.
And the answer is yesterday, you know, in a lot of cases. But you won't come up in your feed because we don't have them on a regular basis. So it'll only really come up in your feed if you've hit that bell. So please do. That helps us so much.
And we're doing these new videos as premieres as well, so that you can live chat with us as it's playing. And that's always a lot of fun. And you can replay those if you watch it after the fact and you miss it. But, you know, we're going to give you all a lot of opportunity. And, you know, since you can do those premieres, and we put this out ahead of time, you can set yourself a reminder even. So on top of the subscription, you can be like, I want to watch this video when it airs. So I think that's very helpful. It's been a lot of fun. And thank you again to all of our Patreon supporters. Really, it's you that have made this possible.
I have a store. It's called Japan Retro Direct. If you are looking for some import games, you can be part of the Stuff Vink Sent Me crew by getting things that Vink sent. And if you put up a video of you receiving the stuff, we'll probably link you up.
Yep. There have been at least one. Is there going to be a second, or does it already come out? Things Vink Sent Me?
Ah, yes. I'm not sure if it's already out, but the first one was amazing.
It was great.
I really, really enjoyed that. And we'll put up a link to that in the show notes. That was done by I believe the channel name is Geeks by the Creek, or since it's Wisconsin, would it be Geeks by the Crick?
It depends on what part of Wisconsin.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Geeks by the Crick. All right, I'm done with this. All right. It sounded dirty.
It sure did. So we have an official playlist for that too. So anytime you guys do one of those reviews, we'll add you to the playlist. And I'll be showing off some of my things, some things that I've had for a while that were teasing videos long ago. So please do stay tuned for that. But if there's anything else that you guys want to watch or see, you can join our Discord. Let us know about it. We're pretty darn responsive, and you get credit where credit's due. So, cool. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this week. And until next time,
The dojo is sincerely reminding you to vote.
Welcome to Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Theme songs One More Continue and RPG were written and performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes or amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Sled Judson at lewisstrations.co.uk. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, YouTube, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded.
Famicom Dojo.